If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to the book of Proverbs this afternoon. The book of Proverbs. And as I was reading through Proverbs, a very familiar passage. Most of you can quote it. Proverbs chapter 3. I just want to look at verses 5 and 6 a little bit today and or this afternoon. Again, as I'm growing in my walk with the Lord and things, I have to remind myself of these verses often because too many times I want to choose my own path or my own direction or try to make up my own mind. And it's easy to do because you think, well, you know, I'm reading my Bible, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, so God is, you know, He's guiding and directing me. Well, that's not always true because sometimes instead of listening to what He has to say, I choose what I think is right. And these verses kind of indicate to us as we read these and study these that it's the Lord wants us to lean on Him and to trust Him, knowing that He's going to be right no matter what. And sometimes that's hard to do because that does require trust. It's a sense of a confidence or a being sure that the Word of God is true and what He says is true regardless of what I think about it. And so anyway, let's just begin reading verse 5 and we'll read verse 6. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct thy paths." Let's pray. Father, again, we do thank You this afternoon for Your word. We thank You for how You've given it to us. You've used men over the years to pin these very words. We know they were guided by You. These words are God-breathed. And they're words that are good for us to read, but also to meditate on and to practice. And Father, I pray now that You would guide and direct the next few moments, that You give me the words You want me to say and help us to have understanding, that we might leave this place thinking about these things, that it might help us and move us a step closer to You. And we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So today I'm doing acrostic. My pastor, I think I've mentioned this many times, I was talking to somebody the other day, I says, I've been here for about 14 and a quarter a year, whatever, and you've heard everything I've ever said 100 times. And the longer I'm going to be here, you're going to hear it again. So there's nothing, not too many things new under the sun. But anyway, my pastor, he was real big on the acrostics. Almost every week you can guarantee, just about every message, there was going to be an acrostic. He came out with, you know, a word or something, and, you know, he did that. I don't do that very often, but every now and then I do, and today I just want to use the acrostic trust. And that's our focus, if you will, in the sense of this message this afternoon, is just learning to trust. And that word, trust, is a Greek, a Hebrew word. It's baka, I think, is the way it's pronounced. And anyway, it means to be confident, to be sure of something. And so when we trust in something, we're confident in that, we're sure. You know, a lot of times we don't think about trust too much, but many of you, or probably all of you, are going to go jump in your car without even thinking about it, and in a sense, you're going to trust that car. You're going to go put the key in it. You're going to expect the engine to turn over because it does most of the time. And you're going to get on the road and you're going to go. And you're going to, there's some confidence in that car is going to get you where you're going. I would suspect for most of us, especially us older folks, younger folks might not be as big a deal because when you're younger, you're carefree, you don't care. But if I jump in the car and it's got a lot of problems and I don't think it's going to go where I need it to go, I'm probably not going to go in it very far. I'm probably not going to drive to North Carolina. Just probably not going to take off and do that. Now, some young people might do that and, you know, be carefree or whatever, but I'm not because I don't have trust or confidence in that it'll make it there. So that's really what we're talking about, is trust, having confidence. And here in our passage, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart." And so we think about that. It means to be confident in the Lord. Now, how do we learn to be confident in the Lord? It's through the Word of God. Well, the Word of God, in a sense, is Christ, right? In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Jesus Christ is the Word. And so when we think about that, when we're trusting in what the Bible says or we're reading it and studying it, we need to be reminded that these are God's words. These are God in essence. It's His mind. We have the mind of Christ in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16, I think. And so here he's given us this that we might understand what his plan is for our lives. And it's only by trusting him that we'll ever understand what that plan is. I shared with you years ago when I was had one class left in Bible college. I tried to get done. I had three or four people that were going to my church at that time, Tabernacle in Hickory. And they were in Bible college as well, and they were graduating that year. And I really wanted to graduate that year just to be part of that class. But it didn't work out because I'd skipped classes. I'd been working. I had a full-time job. And so it just took me a little bit longer to get through. But anyway, so I had to go that summer and had to take two classes, and then I was done. I wouldn't be able to walk till the next year. But the last class with pneumatology, Pastor Kemp was teaching it. And some of the things that he said really were profound to me because I had been leaning on my own understanding. When I, that last full semester I had, what year was that? I think it was 2002. Yeah, it was in the May of 2002. Anyway, Andy, I think it's Wiggins, I can't remember. Anyway, he came and he represented a mission board out west, or Midwest, Utah, that area, Colorado, those places. And I thought, that's what I want to do. I feel like the Lord's leading me out west. And so I remember going to him and talking to him, and he gave me an application. And I went home, sat down, talked to Janie, and so I started filling that thing out, and I got about halfway done. And I was in this class of pneumatology, and Pastor Kemp started teaching about, some of you have already made up your mind what you want to do. And I'm thinking, okay, maybe. I remember before I went in that class, there were only really two places I didn't want to go. Well, one of them was Florida. I did not want to go to Florida, and I didn't want to come to New England. Did not want to come to New England for nothing. I didn't want to come up where those people talk funny. And they're different. Now, I learned a lot since then. But anyway, so that was my idea. And so he was preaching. He's just sharing how the Lord was leading him. And what he was sharing was is that he, as he was going through his life, he was learning to trust the Lord and not really lean on his own understanding. I was leaning on my own understanding. I would have told you, yes, I'm trusting the Lord. But the fact was, I really wasn't. I was trusting my own desires, what I wanted to do. Yes, it was trying to do a good thing, but it was not in the right way. See, we can do good things, but if we don't do them in the right way, it's wrong, in a sense. In other words, if we do tell people about the Lord, do all kinds of things, but if we're not doing it in the Spirit, you're doing a good thing, but not necessarily the right way. Why? Because it's the Spirit of God that makes the difference in our lives. And that's probably not the best analogy. But anyway, so I was making up my mind what I want to do. And through that class, the Lord challenged me. And I said, okay. And I took that application. I just set it to the side. And I said, okay, Lord, it's up to you. You're going to have to do the leading. And I just left it alone. And I'm not going to go through all the history and all that took place, but it was just amazing to see how God brought me through that time and how he did the leading. And it was something that I learned a while earlier, although you have to sometimes keep learning these things. You know, just sometimes you think, well, I've got this nailed down. And then you'll find yourself, well, I really didn't get it nailed down too tight. So maybe the stake came out of the ground or something. I don't know. Whatever it was, you need to go back and have to, you know, maybe recommit or ask the Lord to give you the strength or the power to overcome whatever situation you're in, whether it's you trying to do your own thing or what. But anyway, so he led and he brought us to this place. But the things that I was learning through that is that always to trust the Lord. And when it says here, with all thine heart. You see, that's part of the key. Trust is confidence, but then you have to give it your all your heart. And when you give it all your heart, that's where we come to that place. Now, again, this is something you have to keep coming back to. Salvation takes place once in your life, and you never have to revisit that as far as being saved. Once you're saved, you're always saved, sealed in the day of redemption. But we have to come back to God constantly to, again, recommit or to take care of a situation we're in that we've strayed or gone off the mark or where we should be. So there's always that coming back to God and getting renewed, if you will. And the Bible speaks of that. So here, he's telling us to trust in the Lord with all thine heart. So we give him our heart and say, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. In a sense, you're giving him carte blanche over your life. You're saying, it's your choice. Now, God doesn't give everybody the same desires. He doesn't give everybody the same direction. There is a general direction for a Christian, but there is also a specific direction. God has not called me to go to Newfoundland. Now, I'd like to visit there one time just to see if I can find the house. No, just kidding. No, he's not called me to go to Newfoundland. But he has called Matt and he's called Patrick and their family. So, again, that's the specific call. But we all ought to be willing. And that's where it comes that we learn to trust in the Lord with all thine heart. You know, the Bible is given to us, and it's given to us by revelation from God. We've already spoke about the fact that he used men to do that. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, it says, God, who at sundry times in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. And so many times the prophets, they spoke, they gave the word of God. In fact, when Paul was running around and presenting the gospel and sharing with people, he didn't have the New Testament. In fact, the Lord used him to write the New Testament. And so he had the Old Testament, and he had actual revelation from Jesus Christ himself. It's different today. Our revelation from Jesus Christ comes from right here. This is where it is. You go to bed and lay down, sleep, and say, God, I need to hear from you. He's probably not going to, well, I know he's not, speak to you in a loud voice and say, wake up, I got something for you down there. He's going to speak to you through the Word of God. Now, that doesn't mean that you're reading your Bible necessarily. Why? Because if you hide the Word of God in your heart or meditate on that, then God can still, that's the Word of God in you. He can use that. That's why I stress the importance of trying to memorize the Word of God for when you're in those situations. Maybe you're at home at night in your bed or a situation you're going through. The verses that Matt shared with us today in Mark, those things can come back to you. That's the Word of God. Doesn't mean you're sitting there reading the scripture by your bedside, but God can use that. And that, again, is important for us to understand. It's through the Word of God that he speaks to us. And so he used angels, the Bible teaches us. He used, of course, Gabriel and some others. He spoke directly to men as well, Adam, Noah, Moses, Joshua, Samuel, Nathan, Elijah, Jeremiah. All these men heard directly from God himself. He spoke through nature. You look outside and the heavens declare the glory of God. It's there. And so God uses many things, many ways. He uses animals. Anybody think of an animal that God spoke through? Hee-haw. It was a donkey, wasn't it? He spoke to Balaam. But God uses many ways in the old days, in the Old Testament. Today, he uses the Word of God. That's what we have, and that's what we need to do is go and look and study it, trust it, or have confidence in it that what it says is true. Now, if I was to ask anybody in this room, if I was to ask myself, self, do you believe the Bible's true? Yeah, I do believe the Bible's true. Then when you read this the other day and it said you ought to do this, do you really believe that's true? Well, yeah, I believe it's true. But what's the problem? I'm just not there yet. Or I'm not willing to be there yet. Why? Because there's a part of my heart that I'm really not willing to let go of. I really don't want to do that. And so it happens. We're all there. We all have that same struggle. But when we get to that point, we can just submit to God and say, Lord, what would thou have me to do? Then that changes us to the point where now we have confidence, not only confidence, but we begin to have understanding and we acknowledge it and we act upon it. So the Bible is written. It's written by the inspiration from the Holy Spirit. It's plenary. It's God-breathed, 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17. It's revealed by the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 2:13. We see it says, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So again, it's the Word of God through the Holy Spirit that we have these things that we can go back and look and have confidence in them. And so, in this passage, it's again telling us to trust in the Lord. And so the first thing I see here, the T is trust, is to trust what the Bible says. And as you learn to trust the Bible, try to make commitments to it. You know, there's so many things that the Bible talks about and teaches us. And when the day you got saved, the day I got saved, all of it didn't come to me by revelation, and I started doing everything that I was supposed to do. A lot of things I didn't know what I was supposed to do. A lot of things I didn't know were even in the Bible. It's funny when you read in the Bible and you come along some saying that you used to hear or somebody else said, and you, where'd that come from? Right here in Scripture is where it was. So when you start learning and growing in this, and let me, the next point, which we'll get to in just a second. To do this, to understand that, we have to do the R. So we want to trust it with all our heart, but we have to read it. We have to read it. You see, the thing is, we're not like the Catholic Church. Years ago, days gone by, I don't know how the Catholic Church is now. I haven't been in a Catholic church since 1975. It was the last Catholic church I went into, I think. But the way they used to do it is the priest had the Bible, the priest told you what it said, and that was it. We are priests ourselves. We're believer priests. And we have the Bible, and we believe that every individual ought to have the Bible. Why? Because it is an individual responsibility to know God's will for their lives, for each individual. I can't know God's will for your life. That's between you and God. I can help, and other Christians can help guide you. There's safety in a multitude of counselors. And so you can go and you can get help from somebody else. But ultimately, it's between you and God, what God is leading you to do. And to do that, we have to read it. And when we think about reading, it's really, it says, lean not unto our own understanding. That word lean means to support oneself. And so it's saying you don't want to support yourself. You don't want to come up and figure it out on your own. Now, we want to do that. I was told a long time ago before I came up here as an ignorant Southerner, which I've never really been a Southerner. It's kind of weird. I was born in Louisiana, went to Arkansas, Newfoundland, Texas, and then back to North Carolina, and then finally here, and served in the service. But nonetheless, I was always in a melting pot of his mixture. I'm more Southern than Northern, I guess. But I remember talking to people, and they always say, yeah, those Northerners, you know, they're really independent. You know, those Southerners are really independent, too. I think everybody's independent, aren't they? And so here, we don't want to be independent in our own understanding. I don't know about you, but you've experienced this, I know, but there have been things I've learned over my lifetime that I don't remember. And I couldn't recall. I couldn't tell you how to do it. As an engineer, I used calculus and different programs and different mathematical formulas and all this. And it was rote because I was doing it all the time and it was not a big deal. But today, if you asked me to do a differential equation or do an integral, I'd go, I know those words and I know what it looks like. I know there's a dx something, dt, maybe time over time, a variable over time or something. But could I solve problems? No. I have to get the book out and pray real hard. Lord, please help me understand this stuff again. And the point I'm making there is that reveals to me that I don't have a lot of understanding in the great scheme of things of who God is. I'm a small, tiny individual with a brain just the size of this small head. By the way, I got a small head, and so my brain's real small. And God, he's the one who created all of this in six literal days. And he made our bodies the way they are, out of the dust of the ground. Now we got people who go to school for 8 years to figure out all that stuff. And God did it in one literal day, or breathing the air into the breath of life into Adam, just like that. And so I really don't have the understanding that God does. And so he's teaching us, or trying to teach us, to not support oneself, or not to think that I know it all. I want you to turn to Psalm 119. Now, I want to tell you something. Some of you are probably like me. You think you know it all. But, you know, it doesn't take long if you talk to a few people who find out you don't know a whole lot after all. It's easy if you're sitting in your bed thinking, boy, I'm the smartest person here laying in this bed. Well, you're the only person laying in that bed, maybe. So, but the fact is, you're not. So look at Psalm 119. Again, as we're thinking about this, not leaning to our own understanding and understanding that we need to understand God. Well, here in Psalm, the psalmist writes in Psalm 119, verses 9 through 16. We're just going to look at this one. It says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? So right here, it's giving us some instruction. So as we are reading the Bible, right now we're reading the Bible, we can look at this First off, thinking we're to trust it. That means to have confidence in it. So I can have confidence in the words I'm reading today where it says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? That's a question, rhetorical question. Why is it rhetorical? Because God's going to answer that. He says, by taking heed there to according to thy word. So he tells me that if I need to cleanse my way or straighten up my act or get things right or get right with God, then I need to go back and take a look at the word. Now, do we know scripture that helps us and guides us in how to do that? Sure we do. Well, 1 John 1:9 tells us, doesn't it, how to do that. And that's usually the catch-all, the one we use. But it'll help us to understand that we have to do something this, and it just basically begins with agreeing with God or trusting God. In verse 10, he says, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Now, it's interesting. He's saying to God, let me not wander. In other words, what he's saying there is, I need the power of God in my life that I won't wander. Why? Because I can't do it on my own. I'm not strong enough. You know, we all have willpower. Anybody ever been on a diet? Don't raise your hands. Does anybody need to go on a diet? Keep your hands down. I'd raise my But there's willpower. We say, well, yeah, I did this, and I did this, and I did this, and I was able to lose the weight. And then 6 months later, you gain twice the amount back. Because out the door with willpower. But I believe that when we submit to God, trust in Him, study His Word, and find out what He says about those things in our lives, you know, keeping our bodies in subjection, that type of thing, that we can have the power of God to succeed in that area. Now, if you're not succeeding in that, I'm not saying anything about it because I have not either. Why? Because I often forget to trust the Lord about it or leave the Lord's wisdom and choose my own. Like, today I had a Rice Krispie, and I'm starting to crack, what is it? Snap, crackle, and pop. Deb says, now you're going to snap, crackle, and pop. Well, I was already snap, cracking, and pop before I ate it. But anyway, so I chose to do. So I made a choice. Now, is it wrong to do that? It may not be wrong for you, but maybe it's wrong for me. Wherefore, to him that knoweth do good and doeth it not, it is sin. So if you know that you're going to do something that's going to cause you a problem, I would think you need to think about that. For instance, I had gout over Christmas break. Why did I have gout? Well, it's just because of the medical condition I have and all this and that and the other. And no, because something caused that. What caused that? Well, how about the deli meats I ate, which I know I shouldn't eat because they're not good for me? So if I would have chose wisely, and again, you say, well, what's this got to do with the Bible? I believe the Bible covers all these subjects. When you study it, it will show and demonstrate these things to you. Now, we each have to make a choice about it. But the point is, I made a choice that I shouldn't have made, and because of that, I had gout. Okay? If I would have not eaten those things, I probably wouldn't have had the gout. So again, it boils down to trusting what God is doing in my life, where He might say to you, eat all the ham and turkey and all those deli meats you want, and it's fine. But for me, it's not. So, again, that is coming to the point of revealing understanding from the Word of God. And it is the Word of God that teaches us these things. He says, verse 11, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Again, the point being is if you study the Word of God and if you know, you're going to be less apt to commit that sin. Why? Because if you're a born-again Christian, the Spirit of God lives inside of you. And it's the Spirit of God that will give you the bells and whistles through the Word of God that this isn't right. Have you ever done something and just not felt right about it? Something in your life you just thought, well, this just doesn't feel right. Now, it's not about feelings and emotions, but the Spirit does speak to us and reveals things to us if we know we shouldn't do something. Well, I don't know about you, but sometimes I'm bullheaded and says, I don't care. And on the other side of it comes the consequence. And that is, again, because I wasn't willing to trust and leave it with my whole heart, give it to God, and let Him, through His power, enable me not to do that. I'm weak. Paul said I'm weak in the flesh. And it's true. We are. But it's through the power of Christ that we don't have to do those things that we're weak in. And that's what makes a difference in the Christian's life than the world's life. They don't have the Holy Spirit. They don't have that extra power, that strength that comes. And I've been doing a study on the word power, and In fact, that was going to be one of my messages this morning. But part of that is that's that dunamis. And of course, we know that all power was given unto Jesus in Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, I think it is, he talks about. And through that power, he gives us power, as Matt was sharing in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but ye shall receive power. That's the word dunamis. And you can have that power how? Through the Holy Spirit. After that, ye shall receive the Holy Spirit, right? So the Holy Spirit is what gives us the power to live the Christian life. And so, again, it's important to know what that is, and to do that is to read it. Let me go ahead and finish up on this passage. He says, blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. You can see his desire. He wants to learn. He wants to know how he can be in that situation where he's not going to commit a sin against his Lord. He says, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. And so he's given a testimony of how God is working in his life, what God is doing. In verse 14, he says, I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts. This is more than just reading the scriptures. This is actually digging in there and maybe taking a verse or two or three or a passage or whatever and meditating on that. What does this mean? What is God trying to teach me? What is he trying to show me? Like, for instance, taking Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And as you read through that a little bit, you see that he wants to do something in your life. He leads you beside the still waters, right? He does that for a purpose. He wants to give us rest. There are times we need rest. And he's going to provide and meet our needs in that situation. And him being our shepherd means he's going to guide us in that situation. But anyway, you can study those out. But he says that you meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. A respect unto his ways is basically he's saying that I'm going to follow through and do what you teach me. And then he says in verse 16, I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. I have a hard time sometimes remembering the word. You say, what do you mean? Well, when I'm memorizing scripture, it's getting harder for me to come back and recall some of that. Sometimes I have to go back and keep looking at it and keep studying. I try every day to go back through Romans chapter 8 and try to go and read it. And try to quote it too. And I have to do that or I'm just going to forget it completely. So it's important though that we keep on top of it so we won't forget that meditation. So anyway, read the Word of God. So first off, you need to trust it. And then you read it. And that's how we learn to trust it. Then use it. He says in a passage in Proverbs chapter 3 that it says, in all thy ways acknowledge him. So how are we going to acknowledge him? Well, I think part of the acknowledgement is the fact that we're willing to use the Word of God. You see, this is a living Word. When you go through it and you read it, yes, you see new things in there. That's part of it. But it will work in your life just like it says it will work. It's alive. And it keeps us alive. And it keeps us moving in the direction that God wants us or God wills us to be in. And that's why we read the Word of God and then we use it. We apply it. And in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says, and be not conformed to this world, but being transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so that Greek word for prove means to test. So he's saying that ye may test what is that good, and then fully agreeable is acceptable, and complete is the word for perfect. Perfect is telos, means complete, and then it says will of God. So what are we proving this? What are we actually proving? We're proving that the things that we're doing are the will of God. That's what we're proving. And in essence, you can think of you're kind of trying to prove the Bible, but you're really not, because the Bible is true. It always will be. There's nothing false in it. It's true. You can say, well, I'm proving the Bible. No, God is proving to you that the Bible is true. And so when we prove in this particular verse, we're testing those things that are good and acceptable and perfect. Why? So we will know the will of God. We will know his direction for our lives. And so he wants us to use it. We know that the Word of God is quick and it's powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints of marrow and discerning of of the thoughts and intents of the heart. We know that. And so when you think about that, that verse tells us that the Word of God is going to challenge us. It's going to challenge our hearts. It's going to challenge our minds. And it's going to challenge our bodies or our flesh as well. As Paul writes in Romans chapter 6, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. Did you say somebody? Unto sin. But yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. But yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Anyway. But the Bible teaches us that's what he wants to do in our lives. And how does he do that? By helping us to understand as we seek him or trust him with our whole heart, not leaning on our own precepts and concepts and thoughts and what we think is right. We have a lot of that built into us. For 32, I guess it was 30, when did I get saved? 1936, I was saved. See, my memory's slipping. But for that 36 years, everything I did because either somebody else told me or I was taught or I felt like it was right to do. And I mentioned this many times that I grew up and my parents, really my father in a sense, was Father Knows Best or whoever was on TV at the time. That's what I did. I watched TV. That's where I got a lot of my values and morals. It's only by God's grace at the time I was growing up that those were halfway decent, because they're not anymore. And I'm surprised that people let their kids sit down and watch TV, and it's just crazy. But anyway, God wants to do this work in us. He wants us to use it, and he wants us to walk. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4, and we'll go as far as we can with this. But Ephesians chapter 4, so we're talking about using it, talking about trust, just trusting the Bible, trusting the Word of God. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul's writing here again, and he deals with a lot of things, a lot of subjects throughout these letters that he has written. But here he's dealing with really the walk of a Christian, okay? And he tells us how to conduct ourselves. Look at verse 17 of Ephesians chapter 4. He says, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart." In other words, because they cannot or will not see God in creation or someone sharing the Word of God or whatever, for whatever reason, they're blinded to the things. And today, I would surmise that most of that comes from the government-run schools of our day, that they're teaching them to know God. These people are blind. Their hearts are blind to the things of God. And so he's telling us, don't go and be like them, because you're different. You're different than those folks. Verse 19 says, "Who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ." He said, this is just the opposite of what you have learned about Christ. We're trusting the Lord with our whole heart. We're leaning not unto our own understanding. He says, "If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another." And then he goes on and gives us more of a list of things that as we're walking, and this is when I'm talking about the you use it, that we want to practice these things. Now, again, it's not a practice that, yes, we have to make an effort to do it, there's no doubt. But the Spirit of God and the power of God is going to see us through to win the day, okay? To conquer the problems that we have, it's going to take the power of the Spirit of God in our lives. We're not going to be able to do it by ourselves. I mean, there are times that I can not be angry. There are times that I can maybe not sin. There are times when I can maybe not give place to the devil, maybe not steal or whatever. But I'll tell you what, those things are things that the natural man will do naturally. But the Spirit of God will help us to not do this. What shall we say? Then shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? God forbid, right? So he says here in this list, be angry, sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. And again, when you think about that, giving place to the devil is just basically following the world's philosophy and their desires and their wants and those type of things. You give him place in your life, and once he gets a toehold, he'll try to take your whole life. He says, let him that stole steal no more. but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Now that's interesting. Why did he say to labor with your hands? In other words, do a day's work for a day's wage. That's what he's kind of saying there, right? But what's the purpose behind that? Any thoughts? So I can save for retirement. That's what it is, isn't it, Matt? Is it to save for retirement? To be able to give. That is the purpose of that. And now I'm not saying don't save for retirement. I'm just saying we still have to have that heart attitude of giving and move forward with that, because that is what we're to do as Christians. And that's when we seek the Lord, we trust in the Lord with all our heart, lean not unto our own understanding. It's different from the world's. When God says that you work hard so that you can give, instead of working hard so that you can get, that's the opposite of the world. It's entirely different. And again, it comes through the power of the Spirit of God. He says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that may minister grace unto the hearers. Now, sometimes I have a problem with this. Maybe some of you do too. It's not talking about just foul language. It's also talking about the things we say. And I know that I say things that aren't right all the time. But that's something that I know that I need to work on. Because why? I don't want to lean on my own understanding. And I don't know about you, but sometimes, and I have this problem. I don't know what it is. I told you about the thing with the transplant. I was reading an article where some guy had a transplant, and they had this craving for beer. They never drank beer, but they had a craving for beer. And they had asked somebody or something about it. Says, so why is this? And they found out the person that they got the transplant was somebody who drank beer a lot. And it's just interesting because several of those things went down. And so I thought, well, once I get this transplant, my mind doesn't work anymore. And instead of having a gate on it, now it's just an open, there goes, you know. Don't think much, just the thought comes and it comes out. It reminds me of Andy Griffith when talking to Helen or something. He said something, oh, let me take those words back or something like that. Sometimes I feel that way. But anyway, I don't know where that came from. Let's go. So no corrupt communication to proceed out of mouth. So we need to learn how to edify and encourage each other. I do too. And that, again, comes from that love of God and the power of God that will give us that ability. It says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed in the day of redemption. How do we grieve the Holy Spirit? It's by not following the Word of God. When you know to do right and doeth it wrong, the Holy Spirit's going to be grieved through that process. And then it says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And it says, just in general, you're not to be mean-spirited. You're not to be angry at people, yelling at people and fighting them. You know, there are people that if someone's confronted at work, they're unhappy or something, or someone pulls your chain, as they say, or pushes your button, what happens? You blow up. That's clamor. That's what it's talking about. You don't want to do that. And so, again, that comes back to the fruit of the Spirit. When we learn and grow in the Word of God, we will put that in place of this. And then verse 32, he says, and be ye kind, which kind of goes with that, to one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And if we can ever sit down and think about that just a little bit, how much it cost the Lord Jesus Christ or God to forgive us, we would realize that we got a long way to go. Be like that, and I know I do. So anyway, we see that we're to trust it, we're to read it, we're to use it, but also we ought to share it. In our passage in Proverbs, I should have put my marker there, did I? Oh, I did. In Proverbs, it tells us to trust in the Lord with all our heart, lean not unto our own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge him. When we start using the Word of God, we're going to acknowledge God. What's going to happen is out of our mouth or out of the abundance of the heart, we're going to praise God for what he's doing in our lives. People are going to know you by the fruit that's in your life. And that fruit will be good fruit if you are walking with God. It can be bad fruit if not. And so we have that choice. But then here we come to the next part. It says, and he shall direct thy paths. So when we trust in the Lord with all our heart, we don't try to figure things out on our own apart from God. And then we acknowledge him using the very word of God that he's given to us. In other words, as the Nike commercial says, do it. James tells us that we're not to be hearers only, but doers of the word of God. then we ought to share it as well. And he says, and he shall direct our paths. Why would that be part of our path? Now, there's more to it than just sharing the word of God, but that is the ultimate goal, is it not? What is the ultimate goal that you're here on the face of this earth today? What is the, I'm just coming along, tapping people on the head and sleeping. No, I'm just kidding. What is the ultimate goal? Henry? To serve him, okay. That's right, to tell others about Jesus. Isn't that the ultimate goal? For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost, right? So, yeah, yes, ma'am. Okay, and read the Bible. That's right. That was the other point, but that's good. But we're here to seek and save the Lord. So how do we do that? It's more than just telling, okay? It's the living as well. And people are going to see us in a different light if we're getting closer to Christ and in the power of Christ, loving him with all our heart, trusting him, leaning on to our own understanding, and all our ways acknowledge him. As we do that, we're going to have the opportunity for him to direct our path. And as we're walking through this world, the purpose that we're here, just like Jesus, those 3.5 or 3 years that he ministered on this earth, when he was walking in there in Jerusalem and thereabouts, was to share the gospel. He was different. He spoke differently. He acted differently. And it's all the package deal. And to share it is the ultimate goal. Because that's why Christ died. Is to share the fact that God made a way for everyone to be saved or to be reconciled to God. So we learn to share it. We let him direct our paths in this life. Allow him to lead us to places that we might not want to go. Or places that we think, well, maybe that's not what I should do. You pray about that. You seek God's face. And if he directs you there, go. Do it. And I promise you, it's like, I don't believe Matt and Katie and Patrick, what's your name? Patrick and Emily would ever go to the mission field if they were not already practicing that before they went. Now, is that a true statement? Yes or no? You help me out here. Sure. Is it not? Why would someone go to the mission field that's not willing to do it here? I don't see any point in that. I mean, if I did, I wouldn't, you know, I'd just do what I did here. No, I think what it is when we learn how to do this and we're proving the word of God, we're trusting in God, and we're not leaning onto our understanding, we acknowledge him, and we're letting him direct our paths, he will start growing us. He doesn't call anybody to go to the mission field that he hasn't already tried to some degree and put that into their heart. I hope I'm telling the truth here. I know I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for God leading me. I was already practicing many of the things that I'm doing today. I already did before I ever went to Bible college in a church setting, you know, serving as a deacon, as a bus captain, as visitation. All those things were already there. And that happened because I got saved. And the Lord started directing my life. And I said, okay, I'm here. Whatever you want me to do. And he took my focus off of what I was doing. I didn't care anything about making fiber optic cable anymore, designing those things. And he said, I got something else for you. And he started changing my life. Now, he didn't at that very point say, hey, there's a church in Maine in 4 years or 6 years or 10 years. They're going to need a pastor. That's where you're going. Because if he had said that, I'd say, well, you know what? I don't have time for Bible college. I don't have time for any of this stuff. Because I'm not going to Maine. He doesn't do it that way. It's a step-by-step process. As we continue to trust him, as we continue to read the scriptures, as we continue to apply it in our lives or use it, then we begin to share it. Acknowledge that God has done something in our lives and he will do it for somebody else. It's a commission that God has given to us. He's told us to go into the world and preach the gospel. And that's just being obedient. And there are many ways to do that, but it begins with your life's heart, or your heart in your life, giving it to God and saying, God, whatever you want me to do. He may never, ever send you anywhere farther than Farmington or Stratton or whatever. This may be where he wants you to stay all your life, but then again, he may want you to go somewhere else. And it's something that we all should be struggling with to some degree. Well, the last thing is T, and it is thank God for his word. Thank God for his word. You know, he's given us something special. There's no other book in the world like this book. First off, this is the truth. This is God's word. This is complete. It's giving us everything we need to live. It's been preserved. It's there for us to have understanding. It's for us to know God in a close relationship. In fact, the Bible here will give you the closest relationship you can have if we spend time with it. You know, it's just like your spouse. If you never talk to your spouse, you come home, you know, from work, and she's got supper on the table, you go over, eat it, go to bed, get up, go to work, come back, she's got supper on the table, or he or whoever's doing the cooking. You don't ever talk to anybody. What kind of relationship do you have? Not a very good one, right? Sometimes we as Christians have that kind of relationship with our Lord. And that's why he wants us to know him. And that requires communication, spending time with him, getting to know him. He already knows about you, but he wants to change you and make you different. It's an opportunity. And all it requires, I say all it requires, it's more than just me saying that, but it's the fact that we can learn to trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto our own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct our paths. And he reiterates this a little bit in the next verse. He says, be not wise in thine own eyes. He says, fear God and depart from evil. And that's important. Be not wise in your own eyes. I don't know about you, but I got pride in my life that sometimes it's hard to shake loose. And I have to admit it and confess it as pride and ask God to help me to conquer that. And the only way that can be conquered is through the power of Christ. Because the natural man, that's one of his characteristics. He is prideful. That's the way we are. Let me read four more verses. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1, it says, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. You want the best life that you can have? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And you will have that. I'm not saying it's not going to be without suffering or pain or struggles, but it'll be better than it could be. And a lot better, by the way. It's just trust in him. Let's pray. Father, again, we come to you thanking you so much for your love for us. We love that you love us so much that you sent Jesus down the cross, but also you left behind the Comforter. For those who have put their faith and trust in you, and you've given us the Word of God, that we might be able to understand the mind of Christ, and not only understand it, but, Father, to be able to use it, to be able to grow in it, Father, and help it to us to be able to share with others that they may know you as well. Because we, every individual in this room that's born again, that has lived as a Christian for any period of time, realizes what a blessing and what a wonderful thing happened to them when they put their faith and trust in you. And that can happen to anybody else. Father, help us to be willing to give the message, and we'll thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.